Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our weekly radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God and the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Now, if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, there are three things in this scripture that highlights that we should understand. Number one, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we see without faith, it's impossible to please our Father. Number two, it says, who comes to God must believe that he is. So we must believe that God is a living person. And then number three, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he rewards those who diligently seek him, who seek him 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, not the casual person. Even though our Father is gracious and shows mercy, but he rewards those who diligently seek him. The scripture tells us, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Amen. Now, as believers, we must believe that God is, meaning he does exist, and he is the only true and living God. Amen. Now, we are teaching and have been teaching on we must know and understand the reality of God's word and the six principles of attaining strong faith. Now, we must understand that there are different levels of faith, but it's our goal as Christians to arrive at strong faith. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read the verse here that I believe that will show us what I want to say here. Romans 1, verse 17. And it says this, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, it says here, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." So that lets me know that we can go from different levels of faith. And when we are all saved or receive Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord, we are all given the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is really small, is weak, and it's not as strong as we want it to be. But it can get them. And we see in Romans where it says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So we can go from weak faith all the way up to strong faith. And that's what we want to obtain, is strong faith. Like I said, we've been teaching on the six principles of obtaining strong faith. But what does principles mean? What makes that important to us as believers? Well, the word principle means a rule or conduct of code or standard. It is also a fundamental or general truth. It might also be the original source of something. Amen? Let me repeat that. Principle means a rule or conduct of code or standard. It is also a fundamental or general truth. It might also be the original source of something. So we can say that the six principles are the codes, the rule of conduct, and standards for the fundamental source of obtaining strong faith. Amen? And that's what we want to achieve. We want to operate in strong faith because it is strong faith that moves the hand of God. Amen? And that's where we want to be operating at, in strong faith. Now, our six principles are as follows. Number one, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Jesus says, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." And we must know and understand that reality of His Word. He says He's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's go to verse number 12. And it says this, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Amen. And so we must know that reality also, that there is no other name. Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we must know and understand that reality of His Word. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. We must know and understand that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. So let's read that again. We must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, excuse me, chapter 5. And we're going to read verses number 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So we see old things have passed away. All things have become new. The new creation is the Christian new status before God. The believer has an entirely new status in God's eyes. The same status that Jesus has before Almighty God, we have. Once a person becomes a Christian, he or she takes on a new in kind of status with God. We hold the same status as Jesus before the Father. Amen. That's good news. I don't know about you, but that is really good news. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. As born again believers, we are in right standing with Christ, and His righteousness endures forever. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling Spirit. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling Spirit. You must be aware that the greater one dwells in you, that you are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror. Principle number six, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. We have authority. We must know that Jesus gave the authority to use His name to His church in the earth. We, the body of believers, are the church here on earth. And we have been given the authority of our Savior and Lord Jesus to use His name. Those rights and privileges are ours to use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we are currently teaching on principle number five, which is, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling Spirit. Now, remember, when we talk about this principle, we are talking about those who have been filled with the Spirit. Amen. Every Christian is born of the Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. There is a difference. Now, the responsibility is yours for being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is on you. Hallelujah. Now, some people might say, well, if God wants me filled with the Holy Spirit, then He would have to fill me. If He wants me to speak in tongues, He would just have to open my mouth and allow me to speak. Well, here's a news flash for you. Sorry to inform you, but you will be sitting here until hell freezes over And that is not about to happen if that is the way you feel. If you think God is going to do it, you are sadly mistaken. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. And we're going to begin with reading with verse number 14 through 17. And let's see if we can get some clarity on this particular principle. Acts 8, beginning with 14, it says this. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Now, underline the word that Samaria had received the word of God. You should be able to write in your Bible. Your Bible is your textbook. Just like when you're in school, you had your math book, your history book, your physics books. Well, this Bible is your biblical book, and you should be able to write in it. So underline the word that Samaria had received the word of God. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Underline that they might have received the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. So we see that the Holy Spirit up until now has not fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we see in verse number 14 that Samaria had received the word of God. Amen. They became believers. Hallelujah. Now, Peter and John were sent to them. And at this particular time, only apostles had the authority to initiate a new beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why they sent Peter and John. The unique situation of a new group of people coming to Christ required the apostles in Jerusalem to send two of their own to Samaria. Now, dispatching the two apostles from Jerusalem gave the other 12 apostles the stamp of approval for the work in Samaria. Now, this is very interesting because traditionally, the Jews traditionally hated the Samaritans and had nothing to do with them. They thought they were, in other words, second-class citizens. They were lazy. They just had nothing to do with them. Now, the move into Samaria was, in effect, a major shift in the strategy of the early church missions. Amen. Now, we look in verse 15. It says, Peter and John prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they were sent so they could pray with the Samaritans so they could receive the Holy Spirit. Notice now, God didn't give them the Holy Spirit, but they might receive the Holy Spirit. So that lets me know it was their responsibility to receive the Holy Spirit. Those new believers in Samaria, God did not give it to them. He said that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. The passage says, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. So the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon none of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can be truly born again, truly saved, truly baptized in water, and you are as much a Christian as you are ever going to be. Repeat that. You can be born again, truly saved, truly baptized in water, and you are as much a Christian as you are ever going to be. If you were to live 1,000 years, you wouldn't be any more born again than you are right now. If you are never filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you are still a Christian. Amen. You are still a Christian. If you never spoke or filled with the Holy Spirit, you are still a Christian. And if you go on to be with the Lord before Jesus returns, guess what? You will go on to be in glory with him. Amen. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, and you probably want to ask, and it is a good question, legitimate. You probably think, well, if that's the case, what is the point in me being filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm a Christian, and I will go on to be the glory, and that's my objection. Objective is to go to be in glory. Well, the reason why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is for the power, for the supernatural power, so that the works of God can be done by the Spirit of God in divine power through you. Amen. Too many of the things that we do, that we want to do and do, are done in our own strength. We want to do things in our own strength, and unfortunately, a lot of things fail because we're not using the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one that God has sent here to assist us, not to do the work for us, but to assist us in the work of the ministry. Amen. It is one thing, like I said, to be born of the Spirit, but then it's another to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The verse that we just read shows us the difference between the two. In Acts 8, 14 to 17, it tells us the difference. Notice again in verse number 16 in chapter 8, it says this, "For as yet he," the Holy Spirit, "had fallen upon none of them." The Holy Spirit has not fallen upon none of them at this particular time. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now remember, Philip was one of those chosen to be a deacon. And I'm certain he knew as a deacon what constituted being born again. And he would have not baptized those Samaritans unless they had proof of their acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior. The responsibility of being filled with the Spirit is not on God, but on us. It's just like the responsibility of becoming a believer. It's not on God. It's on us. It's our responsibility to accept Jesus as our personal Savior, Lord. It's not God's responsibility, just like it's not his responsibility for us to be filled with the Spirit. It is on us. He has already given it. It is up to us to receive it. It's a gift. Once we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is up to us to recognize the fact that he, the Holy Spirit, the greater one, the Holy Spirit, is now in us. Amen. We have to understand that once you realize that as a living reality, and you know it as a living reality, you have supernatural ability abiding in you or taking up residence in you, your faith will be strong. Amen. Now that's where we want to get to. We want to get to that plateau level of strong faith, because it is strong faith that moves the hand of our Almighty God. God has given us his Spirit. It says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. Family, thank God that the greater one lives in you. You can proclaim the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it this way. He says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Amen. Mark 16, 17 the 18. Look what Jesus says. He says, these signs will follow them that believe. So the opposite of that would be, these signs will not follow those who don't believe. And they will not lay hands on the sick, and they will never recover. Amen. But he tells us, he says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. I'm against sickness, disease, the devil, demons, and poverty. But I am for riches, the power, and for God, because God is power. God is life, and God is spirit. God said in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word that go forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time. Well, I'm just about out of time for the day. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.